Everyone, this is Linda Rennie, the founder and the president of Sanctioned Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus's ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself.
Hi, I'm Marcy, and I'm part of the Sanctioned Love Ministries team, and glad to be here again today with Jeff Woodwick, my friend. And we are meeting a second time around the topic of abortion and the pro-life movement. Jeff has been very involved in the pro-life movement for, gosh, how many years, Jeff, have you been doing this?
I would say since about 98.
Okay.
Is when I first got into it.
Right.
And I started sort of writing about it on video blogs on just sort of dialoguing with people who are pro-life.
Okay, and so he's done so much research, and of course just very much of it being on a very personal level too, with different folks, and then involved in the government agencies, and has a voice in that arena definitely too. I come at it more from a personal level, and I gave my testimony the first time when we came together that I was almost aborted, but my mom took a position of courage and stood against some people that were pushing her, and here I am today. And so I bring that piece to today's recording, and we want to look at a little bit of a different, some different things around the pro-life movement today. And I know for me, in getting ready for this time together, I was going over some different materials, and it became kind of a light bulb went off to me that I had not really looked at how abortion has affected the to-be fathers. The man part of the damage that can happen from a position of abortion. So I wanted to go into that a little bit today. I have three sons that are, I started thinking about them, that if they had been put in this position and how it could really affect them for life. So I wanted to touch on this. Jeff has a personal, bit of a personal testimony I'd like him to share around that.
Okay. Well, I think that the men's role in procreation is really important, because there's meant to be a leadership role in that, and that men are supposed to be responsible and dedicated to ethics and the future. Too many of our men don't do that. They think that there's a season where they get to ignore all of that and be whatever their dream is, but it's not appropriate in a procreational way, obviously, and it is actually the source of the problem that we deal with year in and year out, namely extra procreational people that people who never intended to create them are wondering what to do with. Mm-hmm. And I think it, men at large would be better served by a lot more deliberate thought pattern when it comes to addressing those issues, that they actually are taught that they're in a leadership role and they have to be the brakes on that situation, the reasoning behind, and often they're not.
So
it's just the opposite.
It is, and I'm wondering, Jeff, about that, because it seems like maybe we've dropped the ball in that arena. As a girl, I remember being spoken to about these things, and I'm wondering, would you suggest as maybe a way to educate or make aware that an aborted baby, if you've been the father of that baby, there's going to be some repercussions that in your heart and in your life as you are trying to get past that.
Yeah, it's true. The whole culture is trying to teach that this is a perfectly legitimate decision with no consequences. Mm-hmm. And it's far from true. Mm-hmm. There's an institutional groupthink in the country that legitimizes this. And it does so all the way down to the age of sex ed in schools.
That's true.
And teaching it from that perspective is not a great idea. It just sets up people for failure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because there's no value in them maintaining a personal discipline.
Right. Right.
To put it succinctly, I have a little joke that I use sometimes online. It's a picture that I sometimes post with a comment. But the picture is of a custom hat that you can print anything on from a hat website. And my hat that I custom made says, "Control your people maker." That's the appropriate response to that, because when I say that, everybody knows what I mean, and yet we don't do that. And so I think it's important that men be taught how to do that. They be given the tools to do that in school and and from a culture.
Yes, yes. Well, that encompasses many other topics, which we someday maybe we'll tackle those too. But I understand in the immediate thinking of a young man who finds himself like, oh my gosh, my life's going to come to an end. I have all this going on. I understand the immediate possible relief that could happen for them when that abortion takes place. And I don't know, I kind of think of it almost like a PTSD thing, like the immediate relief. We've just annihilated a village that maybe was threatening us with a bunch of bombs, but then you go home and you start thinking about what's just happened, and we see that repercussion or that PTSD set in. And I can see where these young men, although maybe relieved for a moment, then start to have to deal with the way it's affecting their lives. Especially, I can't imagine at the point they would be maybe in another relationship and see an ultrasound of their child that is about to be born and begin to really question, man, what did I do? And dealing with the shame. And that they don't really, doesn't seem like there's a place for those young men to go for counsel.
Yeah, the culture teaches that there's no consequence.
Right.
But the reality is,
it's huge.
Your mind can't get away with just compartmentalizing that. There's a whole life to live. And you have to consider that you're eventually going to have kids. Mm-hmm. And you're always going to be reminded of a poor decision in your youth. And if somebody finds themselves in that situation, I would just counsel to become a man. Take care of the responsibility and bring the child into the world, whether you're married or not, because that's the right thing to do.
Right.
And a decision that I've never seen anybody regret.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's always a decision that's valued by the person who makes it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you could bring that point home even more from your personal bit you were sharing with me about your own father.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can touch on that lightly in a place of
actually
discretion.
It's very useful for this because in my experience, mm-hmm. I was born to very young parents, mm-hmm. 19 and 17. And this was in 1965, so there was no Roe v. Wade. But in that time, it was very simple. They loved each other. The proper thing to do is to get married and raise the child. And that's precisely what they did, because they were raised in a church and the culture hadn't adopted the ethic that the child is expendable yet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my mom told me it was the farthest thing from her mind. she wouldn't have considered it. Mm-hmm. It was not something that she would have considered. But my dad, having lived through that experience, taught me a lot about being responsible for your offspring. Mm-hmm. And all of the facts combined made a pretty powerful life lesson for me that I needed to be responsible for my own actions. Because I owe my existence to their faithfulness.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And then you get to pass that on to your son, and the generational beauty behind that is powerful. You know, for those of us who are believers, it's just, I'm so thankful because there is that peace. Not that we don't make mistakes and we screw up, but we do have a forgiving Savior who helps us to replant and restore. And I would just encourage any young men who find themselves in this situation on either side. Maybe your girlfriend is considering an abortion, or you are pushing for it because it seems to maybe not be a good time for this, or you find yourself in the aftermath of, wow, what just happened, is that there is a Jesus that will make all things new. Find a pastor or a friend who knows the Lord. In fact, I'm going to give you a phone number right here in this spot that if you are a man and dealing with things around abortion, I would like to give you the number for men and abortion. And that number is 513-729-3600. And I am seeing right now, as I'm giving you that number, that there is a number missing. So I'm going to also add you a website. It is www.menandabortion.net. So that number should be in that web, in that website. So I encourage you to check it out. Again, www.menandabortion.net. So I'm glad we touched on this, Jeff, because I just had never really thought about that. However, I'd had a little bit of a bump on this topic when I was up at my father's last time, and that he said for him, it was a pull-up. You know, we all, our temperaments and the situations we're in, we react differently. And for my father and for your father, it seemed to be a pull-up of, I'm going to be responsible and I'm going to make this work and I'm going to do what I need to do as a man. And so, you know, we can both be thankful that our fathers took that position. And I'm thankful for that. So what else are you thinking about, Jeff, in this time? Gosh, things are changing in our nation. Texas is, a bright light is on Texas in the pro-life movement.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Well, when that decision was made, I actually got online and I thanked the governor of the state of Texas and the legislature for doing that.
So we need to do that.
For having the courage to uphold human rights.
Yes.
And to lead with that. It's a very powerful decision, and I think it's going to be well served. It's going to serve Texas well. We talked earlier, mm-hmm. Marcy and I, about lots of ramifications of abortion, but
in a global way,
mm-hmm. it will be a huge blessing for the state of Texas economically, spiritually, family-wise, socially, to not have to deal with the dead weight of those decisions on all of the citizens. They essentially have been freed from having to consider it, and now they're making different choices about their lifestyle, potentially. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some people may counter that. I bet some people could be thinking right now, but there's another dead weight that comes in with that. So would you address that, Jeff?
Which dead weight?
Like, just that now we're going to have to deal with this. We have a child now.
Oh, sure.
We're not, yeah. And so that is a whole, brings on a whole nother piece.
It does. There's a lot of responsibility in that. And it helps to know that from a very young age so that you're not pretending to be married with people you don't intend to be married to.
Ooh, zing.
Because the pretending is what starts the whole issue.
That's good.
And it's helpful to be pretending with someone at least that you intend to be married to. At least. But so that the decision to have the child is not such a leap. But even in that, you should be waiting until you're married to pretend to procreate. Because that's the best way. But I think, in general, there's just going to be a large blessing that's going to pour out of that. Of course, there will be a challenge at the Supreme Court level, which I understood they turned back a stay of the law at the Supreme Court level, which means they're going to allow it to stand mm-hmm. until there is a case ripe for mm-hmm. that has standing. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good conversation for SCOTUS to be having, because these human rights are constitutional, and they belong to the constituents of the Supreme Court.
That's right. Now, I love when Jeff, I get educated from Jeff because he knows the governmental part of it so well. And I think it's important that we do know about that and what's happening. I would just add in here at this piece from what I see as a believer, as someone who believes and sees and knows that there is an unseen world. And I just can imagine that the heavens above Texas have gotten cleared out pretty significantly, spiritually speaking, because when death has been allowed, when violence has been allowed, it allows powers and principalities in over areas that are destructive to all of the people that live there. And so that to me is a thank you, Lord, because I think they're going to notice, people will notice a change.
I think so.
And
it may not end the problem overnight.
No.
But I think the people that live in Texas are going to view abortion completely differently than the rest of the country, because their legal paradigm is different.
Yeah.
We don't allow murder in the country. Mm-hmm. And this is a simple extension of that mm-hmm. into fetal personhood. And I said this earlier, but I'll say it again. We're all former fetuses owing our entire lives to a protected pregnancy. Each of us owes our lives to a protected pregnancy. And when you consider that fact and carry it around with you, it sort of informs your behavior a little, knowing that you owe your life to a protected pregnancy.
Yes. I love that saying. I've heard Jeff say that before, and I love it. And it is, I mean, everybody can understand that. So the irony that is in people standing against life when they have been the benefactor of that is an interesting tension in our nation.
The positive in this is that many of these people who hold on to that view, that pro-choice view, strongly, have never heard the sentiment.
That's right.
So I have hope that they can actually receive logic and adapt to a new thinking that's a little more moral, shall we say, or a little more constructive.
I love that. In fact,
humane.
Yes. Yes. Would you say that one more time, just what you... that.
Each of us is a former fetus who owes our entire life to a protected pregnancy. And it's pretty cut and dry. That mm-hmm. that goes for everybody.
Everybody.
From Jesus.
Yes.
Maybe excluding Adam and Eve, but that being what it is, there may be two exceptions in the early Bible. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was born to a fetal life and fetal development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think that should inform how we treat fetuses.
I love that. because I get it. It's so straightforward. Everybody can understand that. And it's certainly something to think on. Yeah, so
doctors should get it. That should not be beyond their understanding, I would think. I think they still do the Hippocratic Oath, don't they?
That's what I understand, but...
Maybe they've done it, yeah.
There again, that's a whole other topic.
Sure.
Oh,
I digress.
Yes, no, that's good. That's good. Oh, wow. So much to think on. What else are you seeing as current... Well, I think we should mention what just actually we're in right now with our 40-day.
Oh, right.
Yeah, could you go ahead and explain that?
Well, just this last Sunday on the steps of the Government Center, we had a gathering for 40 Days for Life as a kickoff event to sort of introduce people to the campaign. It's an international campaign of prayer for the unborn, and... It's been conducted for nearly a decade, but it grew well out of expectations with the founders. In fact, they were taken quite aback by how quickly it grew across the country and into other nations. But they've actually had a lot of success as well. They've prayed outside of abortion clinics, which have later closed. A lot of abortionists and people who have worked in that industry have been brought out of that industry into different professions, even the pro-life movement, mm-hmm. by the actions of 40 Days for Life. There's a name, Abby Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was brought out of a managerial position at a Planned Parenthood by 40 Days for Life, by their testimony.
Yeah. And I love it because it's a completely non-violent, in prayer, we stand in a stance against the enemy with that. But as far as in the physical piece, it's a nonviolent prayer position only.
Yes.
And so it's very peaceful and things are happening. Prayer moves and changes things. We don't have to yell and scream in each other's faces. So this is a movement of prayer. It's very powerful.
Not only does it help the person praying, but it helps in a lot of spiritual ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ways we don't understand, but I believe a lot gets done in prayer.
Yes.
And that's essentially the fruit of that whole mission, 40 Days for Life, which kicks off this week and goes through the end of October.
Yes.
And they'll be praying from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. in front of the
yes.
Government Center.
Yes, yes. I get to have my first... I think I'm going to walk around the Government Center, but I'm going to be doing that for an hour this afternoon. I'm excited to see what the Holy Spirit does with that. So, thanks for filling everybody in on that.
You bet.
So, Jeff, I would like just in finishing, could you share what your hopes are for the abortion issue in our nation?
Sure. I would love to. That's a great topic. Because I am actually optimistic about our prospects.
Me too.
About changing the status quo.
Me too.
We've got a long ways to go, but I believe that logic and empathy and human decency will win out over time in America, and people are going to hear messages of empathy, and I think eventually the ground will be softened for more pro-life legislation that in turn protects more people, which in turn makes more nuclear families, and the business of the old paradigm will be done away with in bits mm-hmm. and pieces and incrementally mm-hmm. into a much better and more humane paradigm where America has some moral authority on human rights issues again.
Mm-hmm.
They take a stand to defend the unborn. I think that would be a powerful thing for the world to see America do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to do that to have leadership on the world stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's abortion is not that different from slavery, except that slavery is a total form of servitude, and almost a pointless one, because the person responsible never intended any of it.
Right. I love what you said, that when we were talking about this earlier, that we were willing to, as a nation, we had war over slavery.
Yes, we did.
And so I love what you brought up.
And the right side in America won out. And it was maybe a hard battle, but it was necessary to produce the type of country that we live in today. None of us can imagine a country with slavery. Mm-hmm. But yet we still have total servitude of some 63 million people since 1973. Mm-hmm. So that form of slavery still lingers. And I think the country is receptive to a heart and a mind, a logical appeal to that ethic. Mm-hmm. Even if they aren't believers or Christians or have a biblical rationale for it, they can see the human rights justification for a right to life in the womb.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a pretty straight proof, I think.
I think that's a great place to finish for today. And as a Sanctioned Love team member, I just want to say thank you for coming and watching today this. And I always want to end with that our heart's desire is that if you're hurting from an abortion or you're thinking about it, that you could call Sanctioned Love Ministries. We would be glad. You can look us up on our website, and just that you would know that there is comfort, there is care, there's love available for you, and there's always people that will listen, and we can certainly direct you to help if need be. So just know that Jesus, He is in the business of making all things new. So, be blessed. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Sanctioned Love Podcast. Our desire is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Please check us out on our website, sanctionedlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.